The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and a big welcome to Climate Matters 147. I'm Lindsay Wood, the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. It's also broadcast across the Canterbury region by Plains Media and through the Wairarapa wrapper on Arrow FM. Well, today we've got a complicated series of short items on Climate Matters 147. It's a bit of a catch-up piece. You wouldn't know this because we're still in catch-up mode on our radio broadcasts, but there was a month gap between the Join the Dots special and Climate Matters 147. So here's quickly what we're going to cover. That I will run through them quickly on the show or we won't get them all done. How quickly can we add renewable energy is the wrong question. The next item from the Can You Believe It files, when chess and climate collide. Some pioneering research on EVs, interesting stuff. An insightful stocktake of New Zealand energy. Another from the Can You Believe It files, ancient stingless bees. And then a very clever, poignant, the very first music link to a recital. Inspired basic plant monitoring technology to enhance plant stewardship. That's an interesting item. A sustainability conference running on truth serum. Sure, I've said. It's an interesting little skit. And then another from the Can You Believe It files, taking the pulse of a forest. Finally, indigenous wisdom, science, and more. Lots to get through. So let's get into it. How quickly can we add renewables is the wrong energy question. The news abounds about how much renewable generating capacity is being added here and around the world, as though that was somehow the miracle answer to our fossil fuel-addicted climate crisis. But the real metric is not how quickly we add renewables, but how rapidly we subtract fossil fuels. They are far from the same thing, and the news is not good. We've quoted from Our World in Data often before, and we reference a chart there. There'll be a link in the show notes for Climate Matters. And the chart reveals renewables are increasing, but they are being eclipsed by the ongoing growth in fossil fuels, oil, gas, and coal. A huge difference. In the last 20 years, fossil fuels have grown almost six times as fast as renewables. And even if we just look at the last couple of years, which is a much celebrated metric, if you like, that fossil fuels are still outstripping renewables by almost 3-1. We have to get our heads around two things. One is living with a much lower energy society. At the moment, we're only adding more energy. And the second one is that society must not use fossil fuels. Going on to the next item from the Can You Believe It files, when chess and climate collide. I get The Guardian Weekly, and it's got a chess column in there, a celebrated one by columnist Leonard Barden, who I think has been doing it for about 50 or 60 years. And it reported on what he termed the Chess Wimbledon, that is, the Tata Steel Wick and Z tournament in the Netherlands. This year, the start of the tournament was delayed 90 minutes by coal dumped at the entrance to the competition venue with a great big no chess on a dead planet banner. Why was it there? Well, there was 2,025 kilos, a little over 2 tons of coal, and it was dumped by Extinction Rebellion Netherlands to symbolize, and I'm quoting, that 2025 is the year in which Tata Steel should have been climate neutral. We'll give a link to a coverage of that. So it's in my view, it's a bit like cigarette sponsorship of sports. This type of sponsorship should also be curtailed. It's been going for a very long time, but it's now, if they're not living up to their decarbonisation promises, it is time to find a different path forward. Next item. If you've always wondered about, and then I've given a big complicated mathematical formula I won't repeat, pioneering research correlates 11 years of satellite observations with on-the-ground air quality monitoring at a zip code or postcode scale in California. It has demonstrated significant local air quality benefits associated with local uptake of EVs. So they compared the uptake of EVs in the zip code or postcode area from vehicle registrations with satellite measurements and on-the-ground measurements of air quality. And their findings not only found that it reduced where there was the pollutants reduced where there was a significant uptake of EVs, but that also aligned with findings of studies of improved low emissions buses in New York and even low emissions trains in Israel. So the study centers on a major health pollutant, nitrogen dioxide, that is not a greenhouse gas, but it gives cautious pointers to the correlation with other pollutants, such as PM2.5, the very small health-damaging particulates, and potentially carbon dioxide. Check it out. It's a Lancet publication. We'll give a link to it. Now I'm going to give a quote because it leads into a new blog that I've been following. New Zealand has a fuel security strategy. It is coherent and based on international norms. The problem is that it's designed for a world that no longer exists. That's a quote from Larry Blair in his New Zealand Energy post, and I found it very insightful. I'd love to have a coffee with him, I said in my newsletter, because Larry Blair has a real knack of making his deep understanding of energy systems accessible to ordinary mortals like me. We'll give another quote in a minute. For example, his blog has recently run a four-part series called New Zealand's 2026 Energy Stocktake. I haven't read them all yet, but number three, which we'll link to on the show notes, deals with refined fuels, and it fitted a lot of pieces into the jigsaw in my head as to the fossil fuel and refining industry. For example, they included a schematic of oil refining, which not only showed how different output streams of delivered product came off at different distillate temperatures, but also explained why the shifting properties of crude oil as the feedstock changes, they're going to different places with different qualities, making a critical difference. You can also hear him discussing New Zealand's new CNG terminal on Radio New Zealand with Jesse Mulligan. To be honest, although he's knowledgeable, and in spite of Jesse Mulligan's probing, I found Blair's answers were stuck in conventional energy / industry thinking, and he didn't really go into the question of a truly wide boundary view of New Zealand spending a fortune, i.e. $2 billion, on an additional long-term fossil fuel energy stream. Which actually fits with the bleak picture I painted a little bit before about how quickly can we add renewables is the wrong metric. How quickly can we get off fossil fuels is the right one. I mentioned that I'd give another quote from him. How's this? The average New Zealander dissipates the energy equivalent of around 45 years of manual labor each year in oil alone. That's also from Larry Blair. Now, that's signaling the same as we've often talked about the fact that we run an energy economy, not a monetary economy, and the huge energy gain that he's talking about there is a core part of that. Right, more from the Can You Believe It files. Stingless bees for 80 million years. And it says something about survival, that the Amazon stingless bees have been around for 80 million years. That's since before T-Rex roamed the world. They produce a runny sort of honey and are critically important pollinators. But humanity is doing what 80 million years in the Amazon couldn't, and that's threatening the bees with extinction. And it happens to be through a combination of habitat loss and pesticides. In recognition of the huge significance of these bees, their rights have been awarded legal status, and there's a big campaign to protect them. Good luck to them. Check out, please, campaigner Rosa Vasquez Espinosa at the link we've got, and consider signing her petition. I don't think it's her petition, but the one she's promoting. And do check out the long conversation that we'll mention in a couple of minutes. Okay, the very first music. Is this what the title leads you to expect? The very first music is a short piece that was the very last piece played on the very last episode of Radio New Zealand's wonderful Matinee Idol show. I've been a fan of Matinee Idol for well over a decade. And I remember host Phil O'Brien on the last episode saying, do stay and listen to the end. And he was so right, it was so worth it. So a big thanks to Phil O'Brien and Simon Morris for that tip and for the many years of Matinee Idol, which I and thousands of others enjoyed so much. Anyway, in turn, I urge you also to listen to it and listen right to the end. 2 minutes, 52 seconds, will be a link in the show notes. And for a satirical take on sustainability conferences, a conference on truth serum, a clever and insightful piece. It's a bit of a parody. Do check it out on a blog called Lyle's Substack. Lyle's Substack will be a link to it. And here's a couple of quick quotes. A tech entrepreneur added, "We're promising miracles to avoid saying less." And a venture capitalist said, "We don't invest in solutions, we invest in stories." So have a read of that if it tickles your fancy. Another from the Can You Believe It files, taking the pulse of a forest. This is pretty cool. There's a forestry EDM, electronic digital media, called Friday Offcuts that I follow. And this latest one reports New Zealand Bioeconomic Science Institute having an autonomous biochemical sensing system, got that? Autonomous biochemical sensing system that is ranked in the world's top 10 emerging technologies. That's stupendous. I'm quoting, "For the first time, we can dynamically track a specific ion pattern in vivo, that is inside a living plant, over several weeks," said the lead researcher, Dalila Pasquini. It's actually a New Zealand program, although I think she has a Chilean or Brazilian name. And what it is a picture that unfortunately I can't put to you on the radio, but it's a small tree like a bonsai in a pot, and it's got a little thing stuck into the bark and then a cable going off that to some gadget somewhere we can't see. The biosensor currently focuses on the ions of the key indicator, potassium, in the bark of the tree, and the cambium, I suppose, under the bark. And there, and I'm quoting again, "an innovative and cost-effective solution to plant monitoring with potential benefits for forestry, agriculture, and horticulture." And we'll give you a link in the show notes to also to a two-minute video. Right. Indigenous knowledge, Indigenous wisdom, and Indigenous science. I've received fascinating items at the intersection of these things over the last few weeks. One of them is Nadine Hura's remarkable book, Slowing the Sun, which is taken from the legend of Maui. And it's challenging, insightful, and heartwarming as it weaves strands, actually quite different strands. One of Nadine Hura's family connections, another of colonialism. She has some pretty stark things to say there. And she is also a climate expert. So she weaves them in a series of quite readable essays, readable as in their small bites, but some of them are very challenging. I want to read it again to better understand her messaging, challenging and otherwise. So I won't review it more at this stage, except to say she had some pretty terse things to say about what she sees as BS language that cloaks a lot of climate discussions. She is saying to us, for goodness sake, if we want people to take more notice, let's actually use better language for it. I hope to write more on this in another Climate Matters. And maybe this next little bit is not quite indigenous wisdom, but it's certainly with an indigenous name, which I'm going to try and pronounce, Ynysbwdl. And it's a village in Wales, and it has residents with the dubious distinction of becoming the UK's first climate refugees. The Guardian, will give a link to their article, reports extreme flooding had made dwellings on the pleasant-looking Clydach Terrace among the most dangerous places to live in the UK, and they've been bought out by the local council. And on a final note, on the Indigenous Knowledge series, and I touched on this before, if you want to capture Indigenous knowledge and Indigenous wisdom and Indigenous science in spades, do listen to Rosa Vasquez Espinosa and in her long conversation with Nate Hagans. You know I'm a great fan of Nate Hagans, and he's got an hour, I think, and 20 minutes with the two of them talking, and the title of it is Two Ways of Knowing: How Merging Science and Indigenous Wisdom Fuels New Discoveries. Fascinating. Lots of intriguing insights. You can see that it stretched Nate Hagans in places, and that takes some doing as well. So anyway, on that note, we have reached the end, and I got through it rather more quickly than I expected. So I do hope you've got something out of this rather potpourri episode of Climate Matters. And in any event, I hope I enjoy your company again next week, of course. And as always, kia kaha for the climate. As you know, you are listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.